Hello, everybody. We are back. Rebecca's going to join us. She just went to go get a drink. Just got notification that the verdict has been reached, as you can see on the screen. It's supposed to be read in the next 10 minutes or so. So I guess what's everyone thinking? I mean, it's a quick return, so I'm assuming it's guilty. What are y'all thinking, chat? Let us know. Agreed. I agree with that, Shauna. Not that I like her. We need to hold prosecutors to the standard of proving their cases. Yeah, it was really fast, Hallie. Yeah, it's really fast. Maybe a mistrial. Maybe a mistrial, Brittany. Yeah, I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but from what I've heard, when it comes back this fast, it's usually guilty. But it could be mistrial, could be hung jury. Who knows? It's so crazy because everything, I mean, this whole case happened so fast. Yeah. My thoughts exactly, Brittany. When you said there were six Utah men on the jury, I knew she was probably cooked. Jamie said, I didn't even get to catch up on all the lives, and it's time for a verdict already. Yeah, this one went really fast. It was 2 or 3 weeks shorter than we expected it to be. Yes, please hit the like. Please hit the like on this video. Subscribe if you're not subscribed. Comment, like, share. Yeah, I don't think that they would allow, Kayla said no way they would allow a hung verdict this fast or a hung jury. I'd agree with that. What time did they go out? I think I hear Rebecca coming back. They went out, I think it's been 3 or 4 hours. Yeah, I think a lot of people were shocked that the defense didn't put on a case, Lulu. Hey, we're live.
I'm here, I'm
Just so
here.
you know. Hi. I think a lot of people were shocked they didn't put on a case, but also I think that they felt like they could poke enough holes in the prosecution's case, and that's why they didn't want to, like, dirty the waters, I guess.
Sorry, I'm late.
That's okay. You're not
I was
late.
helping Kevin with something and I was getting a refill of my cocktail, which I'm
I know.
do not like to podcast and drink, but I was already drinking. I didn't know we were going to be podcasting.
Yeah, me either. I was in the middle of New Survivor.
This, by the way, is
So,
the most Massachusetts thing that I drink.
what is it, an old fashioned?
No, I call it a Sharon Temple because my mother-in-law's name is Sharon. My mother-in-law's name is Sharon, and it's a common drink. It's vodka soda and a splash of cran. It's very
Oh, yeah.
Massachusetts.
Yep, that's very
Karen, I bet
Massachusetts.
Karen would like it.
What are you on, your period? Remember that from The Departed?
Yes.
I
By the way, I know that we're menopausal, but if we were younger, would our periods sync up because we do the show together so often?
Well, no, I think we'd have to be in the same room.
I don't know. I don't know.
What are our periods, AI or something?
I just think it's a vibe.
Oh, it's a vibe. I don't know. Is my menopause synced up to your menopause?
I don't know, but by the way, yeah, no kidding. By the way, this is funny. Hold on. Rebecca, you should know better than to drink when murder jury just went out. That's true, especially because, yes, I will post the link. I'll post it in a post on this channel. What was I going to say? I
I
had something I was
don't
going to tell you. Oh, this is what I was going to say. You know, this is bad for Corey Richens, right?
Oh yeah, very bad. That's what we've been talking about. It went back. It's coming back so fast. It's probably guilty. Maybe not. I mean, I would assume it's guilty on all counts, including the attempted.
If she's the attempted is the one that I would be like amazed about. But
Yeah.
yeah.
So a lot of people were saying maybe it's a hung jury, but I don't think that they would let them hang
No,
exactly. Yeah.
it is a guilty verdict.
Oh, Tony's right about this. I think we used to call that a sea breeze. It's a vibe.
Really? Let me see sea
Yeah, it's called a
breeze.
sea breeze. My grandmother called it.
Sea breeze.
Amy said that her menopause is in sync with the both of us.
Vodka? No, that's vodka, cranberry juice, and grapefruit juice.
What?
That's vodka? Yes. I've had a sea breeze. It is vodka, cranberry juice. Maybe, but
we're talking about New England, Rebecca.
No, no, no. This is just a vodka soda with a splash of cran. Okay. It's a Sharon. I'm calling it a Sharon Temple.
You know what my my grandmother's drink was coffee, brandy, and milk. Do you know what she called it?
Fucking, oh, is that a Brandy Alexander? What is it?
No, it's she called it a white sombrero. It's not even real.
By the way, Dottie, I completely disagree with you. Yeah, I believe it's guilty because it's this quickly.
Yeah, Shelley said they must have been unanimous and mistrial would take longer than this. I was still watching the replay of closing on EDB. I still think it's too fast, though. If it's guilty, I feel like they need to talk about it a little bit longer. Like, come back tomorrow, sleep on it, you know?
They all, I don't know, they all like it. They all agree. So I was watching our stream back, by the way. The anticipation mm-hmm. going into that statue slide was pretty incredible. We were both very excited, too.
It's all over the internet.
That would be
now.
A good clip. That
it's
and
definitely being used as a meme.
That and my insistence that the get out of jail free card should have inspired the prosecution to bring out Marvin Gardens, Connecticut Avenue, Boardwalk, Park Place. Marvin Gardens. Ooh, I always like the yellows.
The yellows? Oh, yeah, the yellows. Yeah.
Up on the top of the board. Those are the ones that are sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
Yellows and mm-hmm, greens. Mm-hmm. Sneaky.
Yeah, we don't play Monopoly in this house because it gets too fiery. People flip the board.
Monopoly blows. You know what blows worse than Monopoly is Sorry. You ever play Sorry when your kids are little?
Oh my God, I love Sorry. Yeah.
Sorry is a soul killing game. You could be almost winning and then lose it all and go back to the beginning.
Becky said, if this jury got it right, in my estimation, it'll be not guilty. If they vote with emotion, we're going to have rabbits in pots.
In what way? Who's going to put a rabbit in a pot?
I mean, I kind of agree.
Hey, look who's here. Look who's here. If it's a real trial channel. We love you, trial channel. Well, Mel loves you. Wait, I love you, too.
I love you the most, though. Trial channel, are you streaming this? Because if you are, I would prefer to use your stream, if that's okay, rather than CTV. Oh, I hear audio. Here it comes. Audio's coming back. Oh, then it went away. Okay, maybe not.
Have you ever played Hughes and Cues? It's one of our favorite family games.
Mm-mm. Do you remember the game of
life? Wavelength.
Amy asked if we remember the game of life. I remember
game
that.
Game of life blows.
Yeah, it's not great. But, God, we've been having some like crazy spicy Rummikube games too. Thanks a lot, Ellen.
We've been having crazy spicy Wavelength games. We brought it to a friend's house the other night and we had it like ended up like basically devolving into a melee. So we're like, we're definitely bringing this on vacation. Hughes and Cues is rad. Hughes
by
and
the
Cues
way,
is an incredible game.
Chat, if you are not following the trial channel, please go and do that right now because they're amazing, and they put all of the Karen Reed sidebars.
Karen.
They inserted them into the trial, and they gave everybody a voice, so you get to hear it and see it as it's happening, which is the thing we missed when we were watching it. It's the thing I asked for. They gave me what I asked for. They're amazing. Karen. And I have to tell you, the amount of work that goes into what they do is it's insane. So please go give them a like. It's the least we can do. They're absolutely amazing. And they've really helped me understand so much more of that trial than the first two times I watched it.
Trial channel. If you like what we do, tell the people who watch you to watch us too. I'm going to be shameless self-promoter in a way that you are not.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I hate the Chutes and Ladders. Chutes and Ladders is just like Sorry. It blows. Mm-hmm. Chutes and Ladders, it should be called Crying and Ladders because the amount of times I played with little kids and made them cry.
Mm-hmm. Ashley said Ellen is no joke. I'm going to disagree with you on that one. Ellen's a huge joke.
Oh yeah.
She's a barrel of laughs.
She's a walking joke.
I know. I feel a little nervous too, even though I know it's probably guilty. But,
I'm not nervous. She'll be fine.
No, you're not.
I honestly think she'll be fine.
What do you mean she'll be fine?
I think she, okay. I'm sorry. I've had a cocktail. I'm going to be a little bit unprofessional way than I am normally not. I think that Corey has already planned out her entire prison life.
Oh, Jesus.
I think she'll be the person who has all of the bartering. Like, she's going to try to be like the main barterer. I mean, honestly, okay. Everyone should know, I think prison is horrible. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. That being said, I have thought this woman was going to get convicted since the beginning. Whether or not she should be given reasonable doubt stuff, we've talked about that a lot on the show. I think if I were a juror, I would have a difficult. If everyone else was really strong with guilty, I'd have a hard time being a holdout in this case.
Yeah,
the letter is very damning.
Yeah,
are we gonna see my boyfriend?
Keep going.
I'm sorry. I'm just so excited to maybe
see. You need to slow down on that sea breeze, Becky.
It's not a sea breeze.
We
were watching Paradise upstairs when you texted me.
Ooh, the new season. We have to start that. I haven't started it.
The new season is so much better than last season.
Really? Okay. Yeah, I love last opinion. Season.
I thought last season, it's a very mid show that's better than it has any right to be, in my opinion.
Yeah. Shauna said, what if these jurors have a real understanding of reasonable doubt? Wouldn't that be something? That would be something.
I'd be amazed.
It's going to happen, but that's
if something. Eight Utahans, six men and two women.
So the rumors that I've been hearing about the jury are that's obviously six. We talked about this before. Six men, two women. One of the women on the jury is a lawyer, and the three alternates are all women. Just so you know.
I love, by the way, that the rumor you heard is literally from the chat from us streaming like an hour ago.
No, I heard it on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Since I'm back on Twitter because of you.
Oh, I love this. Yes. Neighbors is wild. We're going to be reviewing it on Crime Writers On next week.
We watched it. It made me so uncomfortable.
It's so uncomfortable. But what I love about it, what I love so much about it, is that you start every story thinking, oh, that's the good guy and that's the bad guy. And inevitably at some point in the middle, you're like, oh, I had it completely wrong. Even though I totally disagree with that one, they're a horrible person and that's a good person. It's like, it's great. It's so, so fun. My favorite one, hands down. I think I like the first episode the best with the fence. I think that's my favorite, the gate.
Kayla said under 12 jurors is already an illiberal practice. I'm going to agree with that. I think maybe. Eight is too. It's not a big enough sampling of the population.
Yes, we will not spoil Paradise. Yes, Neighbors is on Max, and Neighbors is about real people and real disputes with their neighbors. And the casting of the show, the casting meaning the people they picked, to talk about their disputes. It is such a swath of America. Like, you will recognize every single person as somebody you have come in contact with at some point. There's an incredible, Paradise is on Hulu. There's an incredible episode about two neighbors who are in this like huge dispute over their Halloween decorations because in their like New Jersey town, there's like a Halloween contest. And the newer guy in the neighborhood, like the older guy in the neighborhood who used to always win, says that he taught the new guy everything he knows, but that the new guy is better than he is. And there's a whole like twist thrown in because the new family is black. And then you realize at some point the mentor of Halloween guy is very Trumpy. He's got like banners and flags and stuff everywhere. He had like Kamala Harris Halloween decorations at one point. But the whole thing is their kids really like each other. So their kids play together. So these people are so mad at each other and their kids are just like outside skipping rope and stuff. It makes me kind of hopeful actually, because it's like these people are so different, but they have this huge thing in common. Halloween is like their whole personalities and they're not getting in the way of their kids being together, which is kind of wonderful. Even at the same time, you're like, wow, these folks are like,
yeah,
like wasting their lives fighting with each other.
I thought you would appreciate this comment, Rebecca. I know I did.
When I was younger, it would be so fun being on a jury until Scott Peterson. I think he probably did it, but I couldn't have convinced. Okay.
Convicted on the evidence presented.
I'm only saying this because I've had a drink and two sips. I don't think Scott Peterson did it. It's my most controversial crime opinion.
Yeah. Rebecca and I agree on that one. And we try not to talk about it because people get so angry. That and what so I talked angry. About. I talked about on Ani Deb the other day, the Casey Anthony. I shouldn't have even mentioned her name.
You never should again. Never mention.
Well, I just did it. I'm not saying she's innocent.
She's not.
I'm not saying that.
Very likely. Although she was found not guilty in a court of law.
She was found not guilty. She was acquitted. So.
Oh, this is what I love to see. This is what I fucking love to see. This is such a rare take. Yeah. Because people who think he did, this is the whole thing. We've talked about this on the show before. People remember cases through the pop culture lens through which they saw the cases. Yeah. And the Scott Peterson pop culture lens was all Nancy Grace, a movie with Dean Cain where he did it. It's all guilt, 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 guilt. And people forget that there is.
God, everyone thinks that Scott didn't do it.
Zero forensic evidence that he did this case. He was convicted because he was, excuse my language, fucking another woman and lying. And he would have done anything to keep his in-laws from knowing that he was fucking another woman. He would have kept anything from Amber Fry to not know he was married because he'd been lying to her. He was just trying to maintain his girlfriend experience for as long as possible. And he was scared of being caught in a lie. And so, of course, his affect was weird. But there's zero forensic evidence he did it. And in fact, somebody saw him at the boat ramp and looked down into his boat and there was no body in the boat.
Right.
And Lacey very likely witnessed a crime occurring across the street from their house.
I mean, can we talk about the murder van for a second?
Sure.
The murder van that they found. Okay, two things, actually. The witnesses that they had saying they saw a woman that fit Lacey's description wearing the clothes she was wearing, very pregnant, walking in the crosswalk
with her dog,
who never got called. Oh, camera's moving again. And the murder van, which was discovered, there was a van discovered like near the neighborhood with a bloody mattress in the back of it. And they never tested that mattress.
Burnt out van.
Jesus.
Yeah. So I think that like, you know, what is the piece of evidence that like is the reason why I think Scott Peterson didn't do it? You're the only person I know who will appreciate this.
Do it.
The dog. So the dog
exactly
was loose in the neighborhood and came home, like went to the neighbor's house. And the neighbors found the dog. Right. And then
they put the dog in the backyard.
The neighbors found the dog and put the dog in the backyard. Okay. Cause I knew that was their dog. And the theory is that Scott Peterson murdered his wife and then let the dog go as like a ploy to make it seem like she was walking the dog and that he would return home and whatever. The problem is nobody, I don't care how good your dog is. Nobody knows how a dog will behave if you leave it on their own. How did Scott Peterson know? Like their whole thing is like they'd find the dog and then they would think Lacey was missing and then whatever. If Scott Peterson set that up, how would he know that dog just wouldn't walk away and never come back? Like you can't predict what a dog is going to do.
You can predict it to some extent based on their breed, honestly.
Sure. It was a golden retriever and we know how they are. That being said, the dog didn't go home. The neighbor found the dog. And what the state intimated was that Scott set that whole thing up. He let the dog go so the neighbor would find him so it would seem like he didn't do it and it would happen during a walk. Mm-hmm. Or Occam's razor says maybe she was actually walking the dog when she disappeared. Anyway.
Yeah. Jess says
fucking love these people.
I love these people.
I'm sorry.
Hold on a second. I was saying Jess.
I'm so sorry.
Where did it go, Jess?
I had a cocktail. I'm sorry.
I know. It's fine. Jess said my trial watching just makes me realize 75% of investigations are done very, very poorly. Yeah. I think that's the biggest problem in our justice system right now, besides how much power judges have and how much power the DA has. But yes.
Can I just say something, Mel? This is the first time I've ever aired my Scott Peterson feelings and not been immediately attacked by like 100 people.
You feel like you're free? Do you feel?
I feel so free. And let's just talk about this one for a second. Michael Peterson also did not kill his wife, even though he's a shitty person and a total liar.
Absolutely
and I know
agree.
He didn't kill his wife because... Well, one of the reasons I know is because, first of all, the owl is the only theory that actually fits all the evidence in the case.
There were friggin' owl
feathers in her
hair, in the wounds.
Correct.
Come on.
And my favorite witness in any trial of all time, maybe, is the male escort that he hired, the sex worker he hired.
Yeah.
Because he hired this sex worker to have sex with a man behind Kathleen Peterson's back. Mm-hmm. And the sex worker testifying, the state really wanted it to be this like nasty witness because by the way, the woman who prosecuted that case, complete alcoholic, ended up like ruining her career with alcohol. And she was insane while she was prosecuting the case. Yeah, she's dead.
Fair,
she's dead. She died.
Oh, you're right. She's dead. But she was a raging alcoholic that's what ruined her life.
Right, right. So she wanted this witness to be like this. Insane, like nailing.
Oh, there's your boy.
Shh, shh, shh.
All right. Let me get the pop.
I love his deep voice. He sounds like David Folkenflik when he talks. That's a deep public radio cut right there.
I was going to say that's some.
That's we're back on the record in 231-500-139, State of Utah versus Corey Richens.
I can hear it.
Can you hear it?
I can hear it. I can hear it. Mute your mic. Maybe I'll be able to hear it.
No, I can't hear it.
I can. Can everybody there hear it? Because I just heard him say we're back on the record.
Can I hear it? Well, no, you heard that because it came from my phone.
Oh.
Can everybody else hear it or no?
No, I can only because I was hearing it from your phone.
Oh, damn. Hold on a second.
What you want to do is change the volume on the video.
Okay.
Back to that person will say yes. I'll ask them to hand the verdict to the bailiff. Hand it to me. I will read the verdict.
Jesus
this
Christ.
This brings me to important instruction number one. There can be no outward reactions whatsoever to the verdict. These folks are here against their will.
She's really nervous.
All the lawyers, Ms. Richens, every attendee, my court staff, the bailiffs, everybody deserves your respect. There simply cannot be any outward reactions. You have to keep your hands folded in your lap. If you feel overcome with emotion, just look down.
Sit on your hands.
You cannot have any outward reaction. Second, once the verdict is read and the jury is discharged, you need to stay seated and follow the deputy's instructions about how we will leave the courtroom in an orderly fashion. If anybody in here can't follow these instructions,
hot teacher vibes.
This is your chance to leave.
Oh my God.
I know it's really inappropriate. I'm sorry.
All right.
It's
fair
not.
Warning. Counsel, Ms. Richens, it is my practice to ask all the lawyers and the defendant to stand in respect for the jury as I read the verdict. I just don't want you to be surprised.
Must be hard to stand at a moment like this, though.
Mr. Bloodworth, are we ready for the jury?
Yes, Your Honor.
Ms. Lewis.
We are.
All right.
He doesn't know the verdict yet, I don't think.
He does not know the verdict.
That's not how it works.
Oof. Oh, you can tell Nestor's nervous, too.
Nestor should be nervous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's looks like she's going to pass out.
I'm doing my best to not talk about the judge and his sonorous voice right now. Sorry.
You can talk about it.
Oh my God, even when he talks
stop
to his
apologizing.
Staff, he's so lovely.
Stop apologizing.
I will not, Sookie, I will not apologize for my love for this judge.
Sookie, stack ass.
Kevin does an incredible Bill impression. Sookie.
I do it. I do a little bit of a Bill impression. Sookie is Mayan. Sookie is Mayan? Oh,
I know. We're just making
Jess. What did you look? What Jess said?
What did Jess say?
No, you didn't hear that, did you?
You didn't.
He doesn't know.
He said, "Are you ready?" He said something else. No, he doesn't know yet. He won't know until they hand it to him.
Honey, kids,
I can't believe the trial
channel's
here.
Attractive.
I feel like there's a celebrity in the chat.
Oh, look at how that's terrifying. I cannot imagine being in her shoes.
Listen to us blathering because we're so nervous. I know what the outcome is going to be. I'm very confident of it.
Shh, no, you don't.
But I'm not going to be gleeful or anything either way because that's inappropriate.
No.
I do know the outcome.
Please have a seat. Ladies and gentlemen, would the four person you've selected please stand? May I ask you a yes or no question? Has the jury reached a unanimous verdict?
Yes, we have.
Would
you please
hand the verdict form to the deputy, and you can have a seat. Thank you.
I'll take that. There'll be no outburst, ladies. LOL.
I would be shaking my entire body. I don't know. This is awful. This is awful all the way around.
All right.
I've never watched
Counsel,
a verdict live with other people before.
Please stand.
Here we are.
Count one, aggravated murder. We, the jury, unanimously find that the defendant, Corey Richens, is guilty of aggravated murder.
Oh, boy.
We, the jury, unanimously agree that the prosecution has proved the following circumstance or circumstances regarding count one beyond a reasonable doubt.
Whew.
The homicide was committed for pecuniary gain, and the homicide was committed by means of the administration of any substance administered in a lethal amount, dosage, or quantity.
I can't say I necessarily would have voted differently.
Attempted aggravated murder. We, the jury, unanimously find that the defendant, Corey Richens, is guilty of attempted aggravated murder.
That
surprises me.
We, the jury, unanimously agree the prosecution has proved the following circumstance or circumstances regarding count two beyond a reasonable doubt.
They didn't prove that.
The attempted homicide was committed for pecuniary gain.
She's already going to go to prison for life for the aggravated murder. So,
insurance fraud. We, the jury, unanimously find that the defendant, Corey Richens, is guilty of insurance fraud. Count four, insurance fraud. We, the jury, unanimously find that the defendant, Corey Richens, is guilty of insurance fraud. Count five, forgery. We, the jury, unanimously find that the defendant, Corey Richens, is guilty of forgery. It's signed by the four person. Please have a seat. Madam Fourperson, is this the verdict that the jury reached unanimously?
Yes, it is.
Okay, you may have a seat. Ms. Lewis, Ms. Nestor, do you wish the jury to be polled?
Yes, please.
All right. Folks, I'll ask you always poll the jury. Yes or no question, one at a time, starting on my left, working this way. Front row first. If you could show me your lanyard number as I ask you. Juror number five, is this the verdict you voted in favor of?
Yes.
Juror number four, is this a verdict you voted in favor of?
Yes.
Juror number three.
Yes.
I can't see your number. I'm so sorry. The four person. I just need to ask you again. I'm sorry. Juror number two.
Yes, it is.
Juror number one.
Yes, Your Honor.
Sir. Juror number eight.
Yes.
Juror number seven.
Yes.
Juror number six.
Yes.
All right.
I don't want to judge people by their voices, but they all sounded like before the jury youngish.
Young. Discharged, Mr.
Young.
Bloodworth.
Yeah.
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
Ms. Lewis.
No, Your Honor.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, this trial is now finished. Thank you for your service.
This is just
the American
sad
system
all the way
of
around.
Justice relies on your time and your sound judgment, and you have been generous with both. You serve justice by your fair and impartial decision. All of my previous admonitions are now lifted. You may speak about this case with anyone or with no one at all. It is entirely up to you. You might be contacted in the future by the press or by the lawyers. You do not have to talk with them or with anyone else, but you may if you would like. The choice is yours entirely. I'm now turning to the attorneys and instructing them to honor your wishes as officers of the court if you indicate that you do not want to talk about this case. If you do talk about the case, please respect the privacy of your fellow jurors. Hmm. The confidences they may have shared with you during deliberation.
Unless Kevin Lanahan tries to get in touch with you.
To share with others. Thank you, all of you, for your service. Please rise for the jury.
Oh my God, this person thinks they were an older jury. I think that people in their 40s are young. So,
me too.
Guys, you know, I'm going to be 53 this year, right? Who the long-haired Jesus cat in the back is, do we know?
The guy with the gray beard.
All right, now it's going to be instructions for conduct. Do you want to hit mute for a second so we can talk about this?
Ms. Lewis.
Yes.
We need to...
I will put it on pause.
No, you can hit play and we can... Oh, you just hit pause. It's good. So, thoughts?
Oof. I mean, I disagree with it. I mean, but you all knew that already. I've been saying, I said not guilty after closings today. I think she was convicted on demeanor and a theory that to me wasn't proven. I do think they're going to appeal it, and I think they have a good chance on appeal, but appeals take forever and they're really difficult to get through.
I don't think they have a good chance on appeal because this judge was so diligent in his running of the courtroom. So I think that ineffective assistance of counsel is not going to fly because, you know, Corey has to agree to not put up a defense. I mean, the judge was so fair during this trial. Appeals also very, very rarely succeed. But in this case, I do not see any appealable errors in this case. I just don't. I see things I don't agree with in terms of tactics by the prosecution and defense, but I don't see any appealable, strongly appealable issues. I am, no surprise, 0% surprised by this verdict. I can't say, as much as I am skeptical of everything related to the criminal legal system and cops and prosecutors and so forth, I can't say for sure that if I were sitting on this jury, I wouldn't have convicted. The only charge I definitely would not have convicted on would have been the attempted murder charge. That was some weak ass tea, attempted murder charge. No proof, nothing except some secondhand stuff about how he didn't feel good. That was wild. But yeah, so here we are.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just say, you know, like in the closing arguments, I think that's your last sort of chance to put yourself in front of the jury, lay out a story. And to me, the defense definitely poked holes. There was plenty of reasonable doubt. But like Lindsay Snow said, it's sad all the way around because these kids lost both of their parents.
Yep. Absolutely.
So, absolutely. And they're going to be raised by Eric's parents probably, and Katie and Amy, and they're going to be told what a horrible human being their mom is for the rest of their lives. And
let's be graceful for 1 minute.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I have to be graceful for a minute.
No, of course you do. Yes, please.
I think Corey Richens probably did it. And I think if that's the case, his sisters are absolutely right to be pissed at her.
Yes.
And, you know, saying that their mother sucks or whatever, whatever is not great. But I believe they believe she killed their brother. And they were all very close. It's not like, you know, I'm only coming forward. Like sometimes with the O'Keefe case, the Karen Reed case, you feel like some of the people coming out of the woodwork give zero shits about John O'Keefe. They just hate Turtle Boy and hate Karen Reed and believe all the propaganda, and or they just like being contrarian. I think that this family really, really loved Eric. I don't think that they saw his flaws necessarily. Not that his flaws made him deserve to die or anything like that. I think they have, for lack of a better word, good intentions. So I don't feel like the kids are going to be, I mean, I don't know anything about them, but I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that the kids are going to be in terrible hands. I just don't.
Yeah. Rumpel Foreskin said, if I were at the casino, I'd definitely bet on she
Look
did
how
it.
Seriously you just said that username.
Well,
no,
I'm so used
you
to-
didn't even break.
Because I'm so used to their username now, and I always usually laugh about it, and I love their username, but now I can just say it. If I had to bet my own soul or someone I love's life on it, I wouldn't, because they just didn't prove it. Kayla said probably did is it is supposed to be a not guilty verdict, though.
I love this. Yeah. Okay. I feel like my life's work is coming to fruition because I have spent since 2014, I have been making content that talks about nuances of media, nuances of criminal cases and so forth. Mm-hmm. And I know that none of you probably ever listened to anything I made before you were on this podcast, but I do feel when I see all this stuff, so much hope that even if we all agree, Corey Richens likely did it. Corey Richens doesn't seem, or at least seems kind of sus. That being said, the state didn't prove its burden on this count or this count. This brings me like a tremendous amount of hope in terms of like people's understanding of civil rights. I mean, I was thinking about this today. Listening to, you know, I work in radio by day. I work at a public radio station. I oversee the podcast team there. We have broadcast. We have a website, which is like a newspaper, et cetera. And, you know, Brendan Carr, the FCC chairman, is threatening to yank licenses of journalism outlets that say things about the Iran war that the Trump administration doesn't like. Mm-hmm. And all I can think about when I think about that is it is not just our right to do straight journalism. It is the public's right to hear any information that is available to them to hear. So actually, the civil rights being threatened, yes, are journalism outlets, but also the public's options in terms of free and fair information are being limited when you talk about First Amendment stuff. So if you believe that Corey Richens is likely guilty but shouldn't have been convicted because she's got civil rights, please apply that to the rest of the 10 amendments in the Bill of Rights. Please, 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 because they all matter very much. The Second Amendment matters. The Sixth Amendment matters. The Fifth Amendment matters. The Tenth Amendment matters. The First Amendment matters. And I just think that, like, this gives me a lot of hope seeing the conversation in this chat, because I'm just guessing, same, except for the people who've always been Crime Writers listeners, I'm guessing there are a lot of people who watch our show who come from different points of view and different walks of life. And we are all in a place here where you've thought she might be found not guilty. I was always sure she's going to be found guilty, but we understand that there's nuance here. That brings me a lot of hope.
Well, I would say if the jury were made up of the listeners we have right here, it would have been a not guilty, because
every jury should be made up of our listeners.
I agree. The Struggle is Teal said, I've been a CWO fan since 2014 from the jump. This is one of my favorite comments. Hold on. I just missed it. This one. Do you want to read that one out loud?
Yeah. Oh yeah, Rebecca. I switched from being a teacher to a lawyer in part because of CWO. Holy shit. Can you please write me an email? I would love to interview you. I would love that more than anything. So cool. I would love to talk to you for an after show or for our show. That is extraordinary. And if I weren't a little bit buzzed, I might burst into tears.
Aww.
Oh, this I love to hear, because our show, that I'm a new listener to CWO because of the show, because our show is 12 years old and our audience is small but mighty. And we can only keep making this show if we find a new listener now and then. It is so hard. There's four of us making the show. You know, when you don't have tens of millions of downloads, your ad revenue is not huge. We have a, you know, a small but mighty Patreon. Finding new listeners for our show at this point in its life is so hard. So please tell people. I really appreciate you.
Yep. CWO is, I mean, it's one of the reasons I went into podcasting.
That's so nice. I appreciate you.
It's because of you guys. UW Meg said, I think I've probably listened to everything you've done, including the parenting podcast, when I don't even have kids. And please someday bring back HGTV and me.
I would love to. We absolutely need to interview this person as well. I left theater production to become a lawyer. I'm like dead. You should understand. We make our shows out of a closet in our basement. That's where I'm sitting right now. And the idea that, like, somebody made decisions based on our stupid fucking podcast.
It's not a stupid fucking podcast.
I know, but that's how you have to understand, when you're broadcasting into a void, like, that's what you think.
I understand, because that's what I do.
I go to conferences or, like, you know, we are on vacation and someone recognizes Kevin and I'm like, that is unbelievable to me. Like, really, because we're literally just talking into microphones to each other, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, that's just incredible.
D is a criminal defense attorney in Mass. That's the listener who became a lawyer.
Crimewritersonatgmail.com. Theater person. Crimewritersonatgmail.com. Please send me an email. I will get in touch with you ASAP. And I would absolutely love to speak to you either for this show. You can come on this show if you want to do video. But if you only want to do audio, we'll have you on the after show. And Crime Writers, we'll have you on Crime Writers. I'd love that. We don't even do that kind of stuff on Crime Writers, but that's exciting.
Sarah says, yeah, it's kind of like justice was done, but at what cost? Ick. I don't know. And then Sav said, Rebecca has taught me more about civics in the past 8 years than I ever learned in school. LOL.
Sav, you've taught me more about being hot and cool in the last 8 years than I've ever learned from life. Sav is the hottest, coolest woman I've ever met in my entire life. Like, I am not even joking a little. She grew up in that town in Florida.
Are you trying to tell me something?
I'm sorry, but Sav grew up in that town in Florida that where the mermaids are, you know, that town where, like, they have the mermaid shows and, like, the mermaids. Yes. And she grew up in that town. And I met her once at a conference and she was like, you've two choices in my town. You could be a mermaid or you could be a sex worker. Or you can or leave both. And do something else completely.
You can be both.
Yes. Wikiwachi Springs. And I'll never forget meeting Sav for my entire life because she walked away and Kevin and I just looked at each other and we're like, we cannot believe this like absolutely stunning person knows who Toby Ball is. What a wild ride.
I think you're anyway, trying to tell me something.
You're pretty great too, Mel, but you know.
I was not fishing for a compliment. What I was saying is you sound a little gay is what I was saying.
I am a little bit gay when it comes to Sav.
A little bit. Mm-hmm. Okay. Kayla said, it makes me think we might need to look at having professional juries or requiring juror education. I agree with that.
That's what civics class used to do before the civics budget was cut by the federal government. Now there is no such thing as civics class anymore in most school districts.
This is so funny. I have to put this comment up because it's hilarious to me. Rumpled Foreskin said, have you been watching Candace lately, Mel? Did you see how she said Aleister Crowley is Barbara Bush's father? First of all, I don't watch Candace. I started watching the documentary she just put out about Erica Kirk, and I got about 3 minutes into it, and she was so off her rocker, like the things that she was saying. It was like Corey saying she doesn't believe in COVID. It was that kind of shit. I couldn't do it. So I don't really watch Candace. I have no idea what you're talking about, but I think that is kind of funny if that's what she is saying. All right. Well, here we are. I expected this. I never in all of my discussions and debates about this with you, Rebecca, I never really thought she was going to be not guilty. I just know how I would have voted if I were on the jury. And I know that I wanted all of her constitutional rights to be protected. So
hey, I'm bringing in a guest.
Who's there?
I'm sorry. I had to call Kevin so that he could see what's happening in our chat right now. Hold on. Let me zoom my camera out a little bit.
Hi, Kev.
Hey.
So we can both be in here.
Special guest. I should go get Lindsay.
I know you should.
Could move right in.
So this is my husband, Kevin, everyone. Very, very hilarious.
Just hitting the sound panel.
So this is my husband, Kevin. And the reason I brought you down here, Kevin, by the way, Corey Richards was found guilty on all counts, which is what I predicted. But the second count actually stopped. Jesus Christ. The second count actually surprised me because she was found guilty of attempted murder. I know nothing about this case, based on a story that her husband ate a sandwich and didn't feel well afterwards, months before he died. So it's ridiculous. She should not have been found guilty of that count. And I think that there are good reasons why she was found guilty, even though a lot of people in our chat say that the state did not prove its burden, which I agree with. But that's not why I called you down there. Yes.
Yeah.
Kevin is, in fact, the straight bear.
I do see a lot of comments. Hello. Hi. Thank you.
Kevin, we've had two people in this chat.
Yeah.
Mel, back me up. Two.
Yes.
Say they left their careers. One was a teacher and one worked in theater to become lawyers because.
Oh, wait, you froze. You're frozen. Oh, man. I froze for a second, too, but that was just my brain. We'll get them back. Let me see. Frozen. Let me text them. Nope, still frozen. There they are.
We're back.
Hi. All we heard was you starting to tell Kevin that people left their day jobs to become lawyers because of CWO.
It's incredible. And we've had somebody in here saying they discovered Crime Writers On because of this podcast.
Oh, that I believe. That I believe.
Pretty
sure.
Amazing. Pretty.
Anyway,
amazing.
I just wanted to bring Kevin down here so he could see that for himself. And thank you all because, and by the way, I said I thought Scott Peterson didn't do it. And for the first time ever, I didn't get attacked by anybody. Because everybody watching this podcast right now understands the burden of proof.
Let's be patient because other people will watch this after we're live and then we're going to get it. But
Oh, yeah. So it's still coming.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's where we're at. There was one thing that we did not talk about earlier, and I can't believe we didn't do it. And I've been searching right now on Twitter for this image. So there was, did you catch the slide in the DA's closing argument?
No, do you have it? Shit?
No, I've been looking for it everywhere and I can't find it. I saw it earlier, and then you know how Twitter like scrolls on you and you can't get back to where you were. I know Ian Runkle like mentioned it. He literally put a slide in his presentation during the closing arguments that was an elephant shitting on what would have been a human being standing against a wall, and it was just the outline of a human being.
No.
It was huge. Yes. Abso-fucking-lutely. What a joke.
All right, you can enter now. We're ranting, I guess. I want to just run, have you tell Kevin about something.
What?
All right, I'm doing this. Well done. Hit add to stage.
What?
Okay. Mel, we need to remove that other me here. Hold on.
Oh, okay. I got it.
All right.
Okay.
Can you please describe to Kevin the slideshow that the defense used in their...
Well, there were three specific slides that really stuck out to me when the defense attorney, Lewis, was explaining to the jury that Corey was a grieving mother and wife because she was on the floor with like her head in her hands. Mm-hmm. And we've seen this image before. We've seen it in art. And then up on the screen were three stone figures of women mourning. But it was like a three-year-old made the slide. Do you have it, Rebecca? There it is.
A three-year-old made their whole slide presentation.
This was part of the closing arguments. This slide right here.
The defense attorney turns to this picture and goes,
"Weeping Jesus."
Doesn't this seem familiar? there's body cam footage of Corey like crying on the ground and everything.
You wrong.
Like, yeah, exactly.
You're wrong. That's what I was
saying. Karen, look at these women. Karen, you're wrong. Karen, don't you think these women are hot? Karen.
Oh, look at my little cup.
You hot.
Can you see it? You're hot.
Yeah. I made that one night in bed when Rebecca was asleep. I was just like, all right, I'm going to do all these Valentine's things.
I appreciate you.
Yeah.
So, Kevin, I have a question for you before we wrap.
Yes.
How do you feel about being deeply sexualized on this podcast?
I found it.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah. I thought that everybody switched from their day jobs just to becoming a lawyer because of Kevin's big dick. Comments. That's what I thought.
That's how you can see all the good comments.
Yes. So, no one's becoming a lawyer because of the size of my member.
Look at this slide. Look at this slide. This was in the DA's presentation for jury instructions.
That's what? Elephant shit.
A fucking asshole. That is bullshit.
Circumstantial evidence. What is this supposed to demonstrate? Like you're supposed
No fucking idea. No idea.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury. But the preponderance of the evidence is that while this elephant was here and shit this wall. It seems that there might have been a person in front of it. Now, you don't have to know that person was in front of it.
I think that's what they're saying. I think basically like reasonable doubt or like, you know, because it's perceived circumstantial evidence.
Oh, my God.
There was a person at one point standing there and we can deduct that.
Oh, that
is so stupid. That there you go. That's one of the first points they're going to put in their appeal.
Yeah, but they're not.
Ellen Marie Marsh is here.
Who's that?
The judge in this case, Kevin, I know Kevin, can close the door for a second so the dog's...
No one can hear
him. I can hear him. So the judge in this case, Kevin, was probably the best, most, for lack of a better word, judicious judge I've ever seen in a case.
He's a judicious judge.
He would, like, so if the defense attorney would raise an issue and she was being, like, a kind of a pain in the ass about it or whatever, he'd be like, no, my inclination is to rule against this. He'd be like, give me 5 minutes. He'd come back later, he would have read case law and been like, well, this case says this, so technically... She's right. So we should let this in, but this also means we have to let this in from like I've never seen anything like it before. They are not going to win any appeals because this trial was run so well.
Well, okay.
By the hottest, cutest judge ever.
But the judge allowed that slide.
Apparently,
yeah, but you know what? The defense didn't complain about that slide.
Well, no one noticed it probably until it was too late. They said, I mean, he went by it so fast.
Yeah. I'm not saying he's going to win a new trial based on that slide. We had a case that was overturned. Because during closing arguments, the prosecutor brought up the Chewbacca on Ewok or the Chewbacca on Endor rant from The Simpsons. Mel, do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't watch this. I never watched.
Was it on The Simpsons or was on Family Guy? I'm trying to remember.
I didn't watch either of those shows. Our kids watch Family Guy on a loop, though.
Yeah, it was. What am I? Rebecca's doing something there. It was where there was like a Johnny Cochran kind of character. And he's like, he's like talking to the jury. He's like, okay, ladies and gentlemen, the jury. He says, this case does not make sense. This case does not make sense. You know what? He says, remember on in Star Wars where Chewbacca was on the Endor moon? John Chewbacca, all these little Ewoks? That does not make sense. That does not make sense. This case did not make sense. You must acquit. And there was a real case where the during jury, not during instructions, but during summation, where the prosecutor said to the judge, well, there's this whole thing about, you know, there's this kind of sleazy lawyer who's in this TV show, and he's talking about Chewbacca on Endor. And, you know, and so they won the appeal because the defense said that by saying that the other attorney was sleazy. Oh, I'm sorry. We have to wait for.
We have a guest. It just happened.
Wait. Before Ellen talks, Kevin, can we show Kevin the other exhibit that was shown during the closing arguments of the defense?
Are those crickets? Yes.
Those were crickets. Yeah.
Okay. This was another slide that was in the defense.
Get the actual fuck out.
So the defense put up the slide saying that one of the witnesses who was a drug dealer.
The defense
dealer,
put this up.
Yes, was offered a genetic field. And my response to that was the prosecution could have come back and been like, you know what Corey wanted? Marvin Gardens, Broadway.
I don't get it. Why did they put that up? I don't get it.
Because the lead prosecutor, the lead investigator in the case said, hey, Carmen, the drug dealer, you get a get out of jail free card as long as you give us what we need to convict Corey.
Right. And then she went directly to jail.
And they literally, their slides looked like it was made by their like 8-year-old niece. That the slides with text were just white with Times New Roman font on them and like 14. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
this is why I don't.
Yellen Marie Marsh, welcome to the podcast, Yellen Marie Marsh. How are you?
What is crazy? I was on FaceTime, hand to whatever God you believe in.
By the way, everyone, this is Ellen.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Ellen.
They know.
Is that your birthday hanging up in the background? Is that what your cousin did?
That's your birthday.
I haven't finished taking them all down. There were 300 of them, Kevin.
Yeah, those would have been the first I took down, but you obviously wanted attention.
I just take off my top when I want attention, Kevin. You know this.
You wanted positive attention.
He only thinks that he can get away with that because he has a giant dick. Okay.
Yeah, and my boyfriend challenges that. Ayo. Anyway,
I can attest. Oh
no, I was talking to Thomas, and with no sound, my TV turned on, and I went, "That's weird." It was the verdict.
It just came on like a ghost.
And Thomas goes, what are you doing? Why are you looking away? I was like, my TV just turned on and I put it louder and we literally watched it in real time.
Looking away from what?
The FaceTime.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought you were down. Never mind.
Yeah. Rebecca's had a drink.
And I don't ever drink in podcasts.
She's drinking a sea breeze.
No, I'm not. I'm drinking a Sharon Temple.
Oh, both of you. Listen, I don't want to talk to you. That woman was hyperventilating. Did
Corey?
You see how heavy she was breathing?
I have a question, Ellen.
I felt bad for her.
I know that you don't have a lot of time to watch our show, but Mel's take all along is she doesn't know whether or not Corey did it.
I watched your episode from this the day before we recorded. So whatever that day was, I watched.
And my take has always been if I were a juror, it'd be difficult for me not to convict given the preponderance of circumstantial evidence. Mm-hmm. Although I then wavered back a little bit, but then after watching closing arguments today, I was like, I would have a hard time. If all other seven jurors were like guilty, I'd probably also be like, yeah. But I think that the attempted murder guilty is wild. It was just a story that he ate a sandwich and didn't feel well, and that turned into an attempted murder charge.
Agree. I sided with Rebecca. I told Mel. I was like, "Oh, yeah. Mel, you're not going to like my take." But I did send Mel that TikTok of that woman, and then you said, "Watch our next episode." And I thought that was the clearest explanation of that sleeping medication or that anti-anxiety medication that starts with a Q.
Oh, the quetiapine.
Yeah. Did you tell that to Rebecca and Kevin?
Kevin knows zero about this case, except for me telling him about this woman's money issues.
You could just stop at Kevin knows zero. No. You could have just stopped this. Don't
let her bully you. Stop it.
Stop it.
Don't let her bully you. Shut up.
It's Seroquel. It was her medication.
Right.
It was, yeah, Corey's medication. Yeah.
Did you guys talk about that? About why that
What we talked about was that the reason why the THC didn't show up in his system is because they never did a urinalysis.
Right. They only did blood.
And there was an issue with the fentanyl was in his stomach and his blood, but the quetiapine and the alcohol was only in his stomach.
Right. So the fentanyl he had before, or he had after. Yeah. The quetiapine and the alcohol.
Yes.
The fentanyl he had first, and then he had the quetiapine and alcohol. Yes.
So he couldn't have had the fentanyl and the alcohol at the same time if that's how it was administered, because the alcohol only showed up in his stomach, not in his blood.
Yeah. Yeah.
But would it show up in his blood if he drank it and died an hour later?
Yes.
Would that already...
Alcohol shows up in your system within 10 to 30 minutes.
So what does that say to you? That's not
what
really
that says is that the only thing it says to me is that the prosecution literally today in their closing said, oh, and by the way, the weapon was the fentanyl that was put inside of a Moscow mule and a lemon drop, which he then drank.
Right.
That sounds delicious.
That would not be how she administered it to him. It looks like with the evidence, if she administered it to him, which I think.
And also,
I'm of the opinion that she likely did.
But. The THC issue is so she kept bringing up the THC gummy issue, like in text messages and in the walk the dog and blah, blah, blah. And everybody's been going crazy. Like the toxicology said there was no THC in his system. There was no THC in his system.
In his blood.
They never did a urinalysis and they never tested hair follicles. So of course there's no THC if he hasn't done it in the past day or so.
Yeah. Blood, it goes out of your blood right away. Just FYI, Ellen, for the future.
No, I know that. I'm just, I always bring it back to Whitney Houston, and they didn't do a urinalysis on Whitney either, but she did have THC in her blood and she didn't have weed that day.
It's 12 to 48 hours.
12 to 48 hours.
Yeah.
That it stays
in your urine for like 30 days.
I don't understand why that's a compelling defense.
No, it's not. It's just I think all this gummy shit is a red herring. I think a lot
totally
of
agree.
It's a red herring. I think it doesn't matter if you did THC because there's no such thing as fentanyl laced THC gummies. It is not a fucking thing.
Yeah.
The idea that he could have gotten it that way, just fucking let go of the ghost. He either had an accidental overdose. It was not suicide. It was either an accidental overdose or his wife killed him. Period. That's what it was.
I mean, again, I side with Rebecca on this one because everyone's like, oh, circumstantial evidence. No, no, bitch. She was having an affair. She put it in black and white.
She stole $250,000 from him and was $8 million in debt.
And so this argument of this woman on TikTok, so I don't want to claim this argument as mine, essentially was saying that if allegedly she poisoned him the first time with fentanyl, and Mel clapped back and said, you can't counteract fentanyl with an EpiPen or whatever. So her point was, why did this, what's it called, Mel? Klonopin? Quanopin? Quetiapine. What Mel said was it's that queer. He took the queer. Fentanyl.
Is that a homophobic drug?
It's queer.
It's queatine.
She gave him the fentanyl the first time take. And he somehow survived. This Queen Latifatine was so strong that it would knock you out in seconds. Yeah. So hence forsooth, you're going to die this time, buddy, with the fentanyl. And he couldn't possibly save himself, call for help or do anything because he would have been incapacitated from the queef alicious.
That's right. Jess, I'm not misunderstanding it. I'm literally agreeing with you. The THC is a red herring.
Totally.
And she's probably talking to me.
Kept coming up about whether
I am talking to Mel because Mel was like, lesbian.
No, but
wait, she's what? Mel, are you a lesbian?
Rebecca, here we go. I have to do this every day. Does everybody realize that gay people have to come out every day? Yeah, take your big dick and get out of here, Kevin.
Wait, but so Mel, where are your emotions right now? And were you really digging your heels or were you just giving a counter argument?
No, this is what I said to you the other day on the phone. What I said was, I'm sure she's guilty. I'm sure she did it. I do not believe.
You're not sure. You think she may have done it.
What I'm saying is she may have done it. Yes, maybe I'm 98% sure. But the issue is that in our justice system, that 2% means not guilty. And I do not believe that the prosecution made the case. I don't believe they proved the case to me. Had I been on the jury, I said this after closing arguments today, had I been on the jury, I would have been a not guilty today.
You really want Mel on your jury is the lesson here. You really want Mel on your jury.
What parts? I don't think they did a fantastic job. Not the prosecution, the investigation. What parts were still dangling for you specifically?
So many parts. Carmen's inconsistencies, the shitty investigation, the fact that the family hired a PI who was not under any kind of constitutional rights or constitutional rule, who could go and do whatever he wanted, put trackers on people's car, take all of that information, hand it over to the police for the police to have a nice wrapped up little investigation in a bow. They didn't have to do any of the work, nor did they have to do any of the work under constitutional rule. And then for them to put the main witness
time, to be clear.
Sure. It's not right though. But what I'm saying
is, if something happened to a member of your family and you found it the fuck out, would it be
straight heart with your fighting?
What? We're not fighting. We're debating. This is what we do.
I'm Italian. This is how.
If you want to see a fight, then we'll go play the singing game. This is not a fight.
Liz, the medical examiner said he didn't. He said if he had one regret, it's not testing the hair and the blood.
Yep.
He said that. I mean, the hair and the urine, not the hair and the blood.
He said it on the stand.
Because if they think it's a homicide.
Why would
they're gonna? Well, they're gonna do these extra tests.
And the medical examiner did not rule it a homicide. The medical examiner did not rule it a homicide.
So, do you think is there anything that was done?
Lulu Baru just summed up my entire argument with Mel in the last 3 weeks. Is Mel is not technically wrong, but I do think Mel, you have a very optimistic view of the criminal legal system, and you want it to be the way it should be rather than the way that it is. And this was a fair trial.
I didn't say it was a fair trial.
I think the jury could have walked it out with different interpretations. You would have interpreted as not having proven it, which is a very fair, very, very normal point of view. And I 100% want you.
Is Lulu's cat Hitler?
Way to stay on task, Kevin.
I'm just saying, if you got a Nazi cat, Lulu, I don't know if you're my gal or guy. I don't know.
Wait, Mel, I have a question. This is a two-parter. Do you think that PI was working unethically?
Yes.
Yes.
I agree with that.
Ordinance to who? If that was your family member.
No, it's the police that were working unethically to take all the No, he was doing his job. The police should not have been using what he discovered to inform their investigation and not their investigation.
To be fair, he wasn't under any kind of constitutional rule. He also wasn't under any kind of law enforcement rule. So when he was in the actual location where he didn't need a search warrant to be there because he had the permission of the family, he wasn't wearing gloves. He was digging through the entire crime scene, leaving prints everywhere, messing shit up. And then when he would find something, like specifically Carmen, he found out that Carmen was drinking or doing drugs or whatever, and she was in trouble already with drug court. He called the lead investigator and said, "Hey, I think you guys might want to pick up Carmen or talk to Carmen because she's in a great position to flip right now because she's in trouble. You guys can offer her immunity." So they went and got Carmen. Yeah.
I have something bone to pick with you.
Yes.
You said he wasn't working under the Constitution. That's what the defense attorney said, but it's not true. He was working within the laws of the state of Utah.
Yes.
He was hired to do a job. He did that job. The problem isn't him. The problem is the cops that used his information as solely, it seems, instead of doing their own investigation, because that cop, Ellen, did you see that cop testify?
Mm-hmm.
What a dummy, am I right?
Yeah.
O'Driscoll. But that, but my point is that he doesn't have to follow. Okay, well, hold on. My point is that he doesn't have to follow the same rules
criminal
and laws
procedure.
That criminal procedure that the law enforcement does. And so he went out and did the investigation for them using all of the rules that he falls under, which are not what the investigators would have to do.
It's not allowed on our show. Take it down. Demeanor evidence isn't evidence.
We don't do demeanor evidence.
I agree. But Mel, like, contextualize this.
Mm-hmm.
If something, God forbid, happened to one of your loved ones.
Don't do that.
It's a false narrative.
Not all straight bears. Oh my God. Yeah, we don't do the if you were the victim thing because everybody behaves differently.
Yeah.
No, you didn't let me finish my sentence.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
My sentence was, if something happened
if
to
I
my
interrupt
family,
your sentence, is that all right?
Because you're a man and your words matter more than
men
that.
Are allowed
that
to do that.
Women can't interrupt.
The constitutional
women.
Rights of men are stronger than women's.
Oh, I'll allow you guys to
thank you,
talk.
Thank you.
Because I'm
so
benevolent.
It's
thank
really
you,
nice
Kevin.
You let Rebecca out of the house two times a day.
Yes. Now don't push it.
You're right. I'm sorry,
Daddy.
No. I'm saying that so if something happened to someone that I love and I go find out information, you're mm-hmm. saying I am not allowed to turn that over to the police.
No, you should.
I am not
the
at all.
You should do
absolutely
an own
not.
Investigation and not just use your PI's information and not do anything else. Because that's basically
what
they did
in this case. Yes.
Wait, repeat that, Rebecca.
The police, they took the PI didn't do anything wrong. Mm-hmm. They took his information and did basically nothing else other than what the PI gave them.
Yeah,
and
we're
that's
all in
an not,
agreement that they were shitty
cool.
cops.
Yeah,
shitty
I mean, that's record. The issue. The issue isn't what the PI did, in my opinion. The issue is that the cops solely relied on the PI to be their investigator when he was working for the victim's family, not working with an actual, like, he was being paid to figure out whether or not Corey murdered him or not. That's what he was being paid to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was incentivized to find evidence that she murdered him. He never considered in any moment that this could have been an accidental overdose. That was not in his calculus. He said that. He said it was either suicide or a murder. And the cops, he was like, you should look at the drug dealer housekeeper because she's in trouble with the drug court right now. Now would be a very good time to interrogate her. And what did they do? They brought the girl into, like, they did this over and over and over again where they mm-hmm. only used... Yeah, it's like a like this, as this commenter says, it's like a private prosecution. Now, it's not unconstitutional that he did it. It's unconstitutional, potentially, that the cops used an extrajudicial investigation to shape their investigation. In my opinion, as a lawyer who learned law from podcasting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I can say that I think Tired Vegas Mom here, Mel, has it right about the way you defined reasonable doubt. It's not beyond all doubt.
Absolutely, but 98%
so if you
is
said,
not
like,
all doubt.
What was that?
I said 2% of that is not all doubt. I need everybody to think back about Alan Jackson's closing and how he explained reasonable doubt to that jury. If you think she might have done it, if you think you're pretty sure she did it, if you think, probably she did it, that is reasonable doubt. You cannot convict on that. The lawyer said it again today. If
that's
somebody,
not a law, that's a lawyer's interpretation if he's reasonable.
And then it is up to the jury to determine in their judgment,
right?
In their discretion to decide that. It's not the preponderance of the evidence. It's not clear and convincing evidence. It has to be beyond a reasonable doubt, but not beyond
for those
all
12
doubt.
People.
And right. And what is the reason? What is reasonable to me is different to you.
Right.
So
I'm a highly unreasonable person. So that's why I should never be on a jury.
Are you still here?
Barely, Kevin.
Okay,
but I do have to jump off here pretty soon.
Can I ask you a quick question that's come up in our Down Bitch community, found on I Think Not podcast, available wherever you stream your podcasts.
Okay, listen.
This is you know.
Okay, pimp us next time, my friend. Your audience is huge.
We plug you all the time. We are the plug police.
Why did your voice go up so many options?
Anytime, Rebecca, Mel, back me up. Anytime I say about a case, I'm like, but go listen to Something's Off because they talk about it way more and way in depth. I do say that.
That's true. That's true.
Mel.
Hi, Sav. Are you, I hope you're, are you, I just got to say,
you two stop flirting with Sav.
I've been flirting with her this whole time.
Oh, you have?
They want to
have
like a threesome.
Last I saw, she was
Sav.
In Australia. That's all. I just, I think she's back stateside. So anyway.
The question has come up in our shared audience and our, and you all know how much our audience loves you and we have a shared audience. The question has come up in our community if, because of your proximity to Pam Smart and her unfair trial, if you just have a little more of an antenna for when things are not fair, like we all take these things emotionally and personally, and we all obviously correlate them to our own life. Do you feel that? It's something that our audience brought up lovingly.
Absolutely. I mean, and I said this the other day on our show that we all come into this with confirmation bias too, which is what the closing for the defense was all about today, was confirmation bias. The cops have confirmation bias. They, when they start to pinpoint a suspect, they don't, when they put the blinders on, they don't want to see other suspects. Happens all the time.
Yeah.
And so oftentimes what they do is they find evidence that's going to fit their narrative and their theory.
Yeah. Karen Reed,
when I see that, when I see that starting to happen, and then, you know, getting rid of all of the other possible suspects or different scenarios, that gets my hackles up. Some of it comes from Pam Smart. Some of it comes from Darlie Routier. I mean, Darlie Routier, who is on death row, and there is so much reasonable doubt in her case that she didn't kill her children. And that woman may die in prison when there's possible DNA evidence that would get her out of prison. But the jury was manipulated emotionally to think that she was a bad mom and that she did it. I could say the same thing about, I mean, the same thing about Karen Reed. Think about the divide in this country over did she do it or didn't she do it? And we are all, you know,
the divide,
like,
is not 50-50.
But do you think that Corey Richens did it?
I don't know. Bring the kids to Dunkin' Donuts?
You really don't know.
Deep cut.
I don't know.
No, I don't know 100%. I think it's more likely she did than not.
Yeah, I mean, I said that's how I feel too. Rundown. I said I'm pretty sure she did, but she might get off. I said that. I was like, there's a very big possibility that she
Rebecca and I actually mostly agree about whether she did it or didn't do it. I'm the one who, in the case, I didn't feel that the prosecution proved it.
And I leaned more toward the preponderance of circumstantial evidence is such that if I were a juror, even though I am a very fucking mistrustful of courts and cops person, I might look at all this and be like, you know what? Her financial situation reminds me of every family annihilator I've ever seen. Her financial situation reminds me of secret keeping and doing everything. Like, your brain just goes places. And, what's this coming to say? Okay, we should all be concerned if the justice system is working. We are reaching a point with our uneducated population that people don't understand what justice is, convicting the wrong person, isn't it? I don't understand that comment, but it seems like it came from a good place. So, yes. I think that I don't think that we are, you, Ellen, and me on the scale, we're like a millimeter apart. It just feels like more. That's my
opinion. Yeah. In situations like this, because it's someone's life on the line and someone's already died, like, I don't want to ever forget about Eric in this. You know, these kids lost both of their parents. Mm-hmm. So my point is, we better be we better be sure that this woman did it, because you're taking away a second parent from these kids.
Yeah.
And if she didn't do it, we're also putting away somebody who might be innocent. And that, to me, I struggle with that concept. I struggle with that concept mightily.
Ellen, I have bad news for you.
What?
We're not going to get into it now, but I just want to say, early on in this broadcast, I said, because I had a drink, that I didn't think Scott Peterson did it. And for the first time ever, not a single person in the comments disagreed with me. Nobody, that commented on it, attacked me. I was like, this is incredible. These are our people. 100%.
Yeah, Rebecca and I.
There is somebody in there that had a little SP.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
You mean that someone didn't try and dox you, send Child Protective Services to your house,
correct,
and try and attack you because of something you said on a podcast?
Exactly.
You know, people are going to watch this later, so please don't give them any ideas.
I feel like the Amanda Knox and Scott Peterson people have moved on to something different, they're no longer.
Yeah, Lucy Letby.
Yeah, it's this.
Or Karen Reed.
Oh,
Karen.
Obsessed with Lucy Letby. Obsessed.
I'm obsessed.
Just because I'm a lesbian.
Before we go, Ellen, can you please do your Jen McCabe impression for us?
Hock 'em, hock spots. basketball, mostly hockey.
I'm just a mom, just a regular mom.
Yeah. My favorite part of the Jen scream is she goes from this wretched face to neutral. She goes, Jen!
Yeah.
Jen! It's just 10-0, 10-0.
What would Higgy say about that, Mel?
Hey, Jen.
I would love
Jen.
You guys.
Hey, Jen. I also like Hockamock Sports, and I would love it if you would come over to my bachelor pad to have a Jameson and Ginger maybe later, because, you know, like I said, I live in a bachelor pad, and Karen's turned me down at this point, and she's off with John, and she's killing John, so I'm over here by myself, and I would really appreciate it, because I think you're wicked hot.
Has anyone seen him lately?
I got nothing.
He's on the Cape.
Nothing. Yeah. He's the kid. All right, we got to go. We got
to
go.
We have to go. We have to go.
Thank you.
Alan, I can't thank you enough for joining us.
Thanks for the debate.
By 10 people. We so appreciate it.
And can I just say, I just want to say one other thing.
Yeah, one more thing.
This is what real debate looks like amongst friends.
You wrong.
We can disagree, and it's totally okay, you guys.
You wrong.
And I would just like to thank Kevin for letting us go on the internet and have microphones, because without Kevin saying it's okay, we would still be in the kitchen.
He's That's so great. Nice.
Kevin, you have really
you can't have
big,
your own checking account.
Strong arms.
Of Kevin really... here says that yes, we really appreciate
of Kevin.
It.
I love
Kevin,
you nerds.
Of Kevin.
Right. Love you guys. Thank you all everybody right. for joining us for the verdict
so
and for
much.
Everything else. Love you guys.
Right. Okay.
Love you. Bye.
You have to wave now till the stream stops, Kevin. It's awkward, but you gotta wave.
And I see Aaron and Susie.